Welcome to the Peter Stevens Motorcycles Vic MX Recap Show, presented by MotoCred. Peter Stevens Motorcycles have been supporting grassroots racing for 50 years and continue to do so into 2024 with the Peter Stevens Victorian Motocross Championship. Peter Stevens have over six locations with Ringwood and Dandenong in the southeast of Melbourne, Geelong and Adelaide, along with the new stores, PSNow in Perth and coming soon to Western Sydney. Stocking all major apparel and parts brands, manufacturers and more, Peter Stevens, everything for the ride. Presented by MotoCred. MotoCred have over 600 products to suit your bike, from tools, stands, foot pegs, levers, and everything else to bling out your dirt bike. To view the range, visit www.motocred.com.au.
My name's Cooper Danaher, and you're listening to the Peter Stevens Vic MX Recap Show.
There were times I was lost, dark had fear, couldn't see through the rain. In the end it was clear, hit the fan. I was more than one man, who was there to lend a hand? Together we'd stand, always at my back, my guardian soldier. Team pulled together, united we conquer. Blessed is he who in the name of charity carry me when I'm weak, straight through the valley of darkness. Pitch blackness, the heartless, regardless. Fear couldn't part us, thick and thin, there by my side. At times we collide, but in the end we ride. And thin, there by my side. At times we collide, but in the end we ride. We ride, 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 ride.
Keep on holding strong. United we stand, divided we fall. Together we belong. I am my brother's keeper. Keep on holding strong. United we stand, divided we fall. Together we belong. I am my brother's keeper.
Hey there, Moto fans. This is the Peter Stevens Vic MX Recap Show, presented by MotoCred and brought to you by Mental for Moto and the Inside Dirt Network. I'm your host, Pete Wolfe. If you're a Mental for Moto podcast listener, make sure you also subscribe to the Inside Dirt Network on your favorite podcast player. And check out the Inside Dirt website as well. They've got all kinds of cool moto-related content across their platforms, including coverage of the Pro-Am X and the Sunshine State Series. And Joe and the team at Inside Dirt are doing an amazing job covering the sport. Okay, it's time to recap the first round of the Peter Stevens Victorian Junior Motocross Championship, presented by MotoCred. Which took place at Cobram across the 23rd and 24th of March. For this episode, we will have a bunch of awesome guests calling in, including some of the race winners from the weekend. But to kick things off, I thought I'd do something a little bit different and call in one of the weekend's officials for a chat to talk about the event and get his perspectives about the Victorian Motocross Championship as well. So my first guest tonight is Kenny Watts, who was the clerk of the course for round one. Now, Kenny has been around the Victorian motocross scene forever, and he's worn a lot of different hats over those years, as a commentator, in various official roles, and of course, as a moto dad. So let's get him on the line. Welcome to the podcast, Kenny.
Yeah, Wolfie, welcome on board for the Vic titles. How cool is that? You're here with us.
Oh, definitely, mate. I had a ball on the weekend. I actually wasn't expecting to have quite so much fun and enjoy it quite as much as I did. It was pretty awesome weekend. Great racing, and I got a front row seat from the trackside.
Yeah, mate, you clocked up some Ks. That was amazing. You were everywhere. You were not as quick as our sweep riders. I was thinking about putting a vest on you at times.
Well, I don't want to, especially when I'm crossing the track, I've got to keep moving. I definitely don't want to trip over. Those guys bear down on you pretty fast.
But there was a lot of comments about having a media person at our event, and everyone was sort of a little bit stepping around a little bit higher because of the exposure that they can see that the podcast may help bring to our sport, which is, we're wrapped.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's great that Peter Stevens sort of saw that as well and have come on board with the podcast and Inside Dirt, obviously, which have partnered with Mental for Moto to do it all. It's it's great. I've actually never been to a Vic titles before in any sort of capacity other than as a spectator. So, and that was quite a few years ago.
Yeah, we got hammered. We were probably the only state that got hammered with the COVID, but our racing stopped after round one at the juniors at Portland in 2019 or whatever it was. But, we're slowly making our way back. We've now got sponsors on board and some great sponsors that go with it. Peter Stevens and some of the bike shops that Peter Stevens are happy to have on board, like Elliott Brothers, Whitten Brothers, Winner Motorcycles, and then we've got some brands that come along with it too. So, we're really pumped that they can see that there's a future for the sport in Victoria, and I think we give the riders a bit of everything to go with it.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Vic titles is really looks like it's a stepping stone between, the regional scene and the national scene.
When you get to the seniors, even our juniors, like our A-grade junior classes, they run 15-minute motos plus a lap, which is similar. Well, it's getting closer to what the MX3 Wood boys would do. So it starts getting them built up to that. And then we also invite junior light riders to the senior Saturday. So they also get to race at that and actually ride on a senior track that's been prepped. So we're just working them up slowly. And a lot of our riders are going off and having a dip at the MX3. So, we're just trying and just make it be something that is a stepping stone from the regents and everything else. So,
yeah, that's one thing I noticed on the weekend. The track was definitely more advanced and more technical than something we'd see at the regional level, but it wasn't quite sort of at that Pro-MX level. So, it's good for especially the juniors to get experience on, that next level type track.
Yeah, mate, the club done a perfect job on the weekend. They had a massive region there 3 or 4 weeks ago and, massive numbers for a one-day event, which was, just with a little bit of bad luck and a little bit of dust management, they just dropped a round of racing. But the club and an experienced campaigner of one of their club, Cody Russ, yep, was there Saturday, and he worked with us, and he was just like, I think we should give this a drink after this round, can he? So we didn't go there to dictate to the club. We worked with them, and, it just worked out really good. So the riders were pumped with the way it held up and how rough it was in places. And, I think the club done a great job.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, for weather that was fairly warm and there was a bit of breeze, to not have to water much throughout the day. I think on Saturday you turn the sprinklers on a couple of times, and then on the Sunday I think we only turn them on once.
Yeah, that's right. So we done at the end of round one of racing. So we're done practicing around racing, and then just seeing the start of it starting to come up a bit. I thought if we don't get on it now, Cody suggested we give it a drink. So, give it a 10-minute drink, and you can basically isolate what part of the track you want to water with that. So they just went around disconnected sprinklers that in areas that were still looking good and just give it a drink in the places that it needed a bit. And then we done replicated that again at the end of round two, and we were finished at 4:15 on Saturday. It was great.
Yeah. It didn't get too sort of wet in the morning, all things considered. And after they watered, it wasn't so dry that it started to get super skatey. So, like you already said, I think they did a pretty spot on job.
Yeah. So we run our focus is that we run our bigger bikes for the juniors on first. So we started with B grade, went to A grade, then finished with C grade. So all the big bikes on the 125s, the 250s on Saturday had done practice, sort of given us the rest of the juniors, them lines to ride. And then before the track starts to really go off, they've had their third race, and then the littler bikes don't generate the dust as much either as we near the end of the day. So that just works in our favour.
Yeah, so there's actually some method to the madness.
Yeah, you hear parents go, we're last again, but little Johnny on a 50 ain't going to get around in second lot of practice, and he's not going to be any good still in the second lot of racing on the first round if the track is prepared to last the day, And so you've got to give those kids every opportunity to get round. As they get older, they'll start working their way through the program, and they'll end up being the ones that are cleaning the mud off the track in practice, and they'll go, avoid them 50s. They're going around and they don't have to wash their bikes anymore. So, it just evolves in the sport. So get a little bit older and a little bit stronger, and you can handle a little bit more skatiness in the mornings. Well, we put them bikes out there.
For the listeners that don't race or are new to the racing world, I thought I'd get you on. You had an official role there as clerk of the course. to chat about what that entails, you know, what is the clerk of the course and maybe some of the other official roles there. Yeah, and sort of explain it to the listeners.
Well, I work in conjunction with the steward. We walk the track and check it out and ask for the club to put in extra track markers or things like that just to help define the track better, try and keep the kids on track. The new track markers are actually very easy to knock over with your foot. So, yeah, that's a real effort for the officials to try and keep, you know, it's a nice incentive way to cut a corner but by knocking the track marker down, but just makes it harder for us all. So we do that. We do a rider's briefing, so we explain to all the riders how the day's going to go. Like some of the things that we've really got to instill on our riders at the moment is like it's a privilege to be able to get on your motorbike and ride from your campground at walking pace to the start chutes. Get in there with just a person over the age of 16 in the start chutes, get ready to go racing, go race and then come back, high-five your mates as you're leaving the track and just take it nice and gently back to your wash bays and whatever else. And yeah, just try and make it fair and even. And like we're at a state title, so you don't really want to be given warnings out. Like they've warned at the start that you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. And they've all raced. So
yeah, they know the rules.
We had to give a warning to the A-grade 250 because there was probably a few that was pushing the boundary on the first lap of practice. You know, there was that many of them. Just pull them over and have a yak to them and just say, look, you are the leading group here today and the little kids are looking at you. So just do the right thing. And
when you're saying they were getting a bit ego, what just in terms of the passing or?
Well, the first lap of practice is we have a stationary flag out. So the flag marshals are saying, here, I've got a stationary flag out. Look where I am. So during a race day, you can look at me for signals for a section as you're entering a blind jump and things like that and know that the flag is sitting there watching it and not putting the flag out. So that's the idea of the stationary lap flag in the first lap. But they're not meant to jump in and like we don't want them jumping things just in case, you know, until they get used to it. Like it's a little bit slippery in the morning, so just give us a few bikes over to jump faces and things like that and get it a bit of a track run into it so it's a little bit safer for the second and third lap of practice and things like that. So nobody's sighted the track yet, so we don't want them hitting it flat out for starters, do we? So yeah. Just safety.
Yep. So throughout the day, is your role basically just to monitor the track and to enforce those rules like you've just sort of touched on?
Well, yeah, we sort of, you know, just try and make sure that the riders are all, we want them to be racing each other and not taking a shortcut here and there and just keep them on the track. And if you come off the track, just re-enter the track at the next nearest possible without gaining an advantage and just make it fair for everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all the little things that just make it fair for, you know, we don't want little Johnny running down the inside, missing all the rough stuff and gaining an advantage on the other kids that are doing the right thing and staying on the track. So yeah, just being out there, keeping an eye on it. It's amazing when you go out there on track and the riders come past you and they see that blue vest and they just realise that we're watching. And it's just, yeah. I don't want to be Hitler. I want to be there and watch some great racing and have fun and high-five the kids when they're coming off the track and go and talk to a kid that's had an accident and just check that he's okay. And if they're all good. But if they need to be checked out, we take them to the medics and get them looked at. And we've got paramedics. We've got really good people at our venues keeping an eye on our kids. So, so if they're right, we don't want to stop them racing. So we make sure they're right and they're all good to keep going. And if they've damaged their bike, we just check it out, make sure it's right. We'll just say to dad, this needs to be fixed and bring it back and show us that you've done it. And yeah, it's just safety. It's about safety and about fairness. That's all we're there for. It's not anything else, to be honest, I don't believe.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully you don't have to deal with difficult riders or parents at the junior levels too often. And
it's funny, the amount of kids that have to do a kickstart to get a license. And one of the questions is, if a parent misbehaves, it's the responsibility of the rider. And you say to them, look, when we ask dad to leave that starting zone when the green flag's waved, the only person we can penalise through him doing the wrong thing is the rider. So we don't want that. So we just ask the dads to step back and let the kids go racing. You know, we're down to less than 2 minutes to go racing. There's not much else you can tell him, really.
It's going to change the outcome for sure.
Well, I know for a fact that if you get off the back of the bike will go quicker without you on it, like the parents. So yeah, just let the kids go out there and have fun. And yeah, I'm like, there's no kid out there not trying.
Yep.
So that's, you know, like,
that's a good point.
They might be a little bit disappointed for one thing or another. I think they're disappointed because they know the kids are trying and it just doesn't happen. So, yeah. It was good on the weekend. I really appreciated the awareness from the parents doing the right thing. And it's just, mate, we're in a situation where insurance is not a guarantee given to our sport. So we, as officials and riders, we all need to play our part. Just make sure we do everything we can to be safe as possible and make sure we don't put anything out on track that's dangerous for the riders and have the riders doing nothing dangerous in the pit area or anything else like that that puts our sport at risk.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think you and the team, I think you had Kirsty Petchauer as deputy clerk of the course. You already mentioned Jared Toohey as the steward and Nikki Holyoake as the secretary. You guys did a great job of that on the weekend. I thought the event was really well run. And the thing that surprised me, again, like I said, I'm not that experienced with the Vic titles, was how relaxed and friendly the atmosphere out there was.
Yeah, and like there was one kid that was, he was like absolutely on a mission. He wanted to win a race in the A-grade 250. He had a big crash. When he come around and they seen he was up and riding around again, and like it started to see that little bit of appreciation from the spectating crowd that they applauded his effort to keep going. And when he pulled up, everyone, you know, yeah, good on you, buddy. Well done. You tried your guts out. And we walked him over to first aid centre and he was giving you all clear, out of blood nose, but yeah, he was a bit sore, I think. But it was good that the crowd actually supports effort that the kids put in. So
yeah, they really can see, and they're familiar enough with the sport to know what, you know, what effort goes in behind the scenes, and there is the risk aspect as well. So I think everyone appreciates that.
Yeah, and like we're all friends in this sport. Like even like we've got riders from New South Wales, Tasmania, and South Australia that were here on the weekend, and yeah, it was like really good event. Like,
yeah,
didn't seem to be any real nothing going on that was you're not happy to see. You know, like there was kids getting their photos taken by a photographer that was sneaking around, and they're all in our new merch that we've got, which is pretty cool. Thanks to Peter Stevens and our sponsors, we've got a merchandise, some jerseys and polo tops and hoodies now that the kids are getting their photos in, and Motocross Management gave out umbrellas this year.
I was just about to ask, because the number of Peter Stevens and MVMX umbrellas on the start line was just
every
crazy.
Every competitor got given an umbrella that we done up. Initially, we didn't have Peter Stevens on board when we initiated getting these umbrellas made up with our logo on it. And then Peter Stevens came on board and we thought, oh, what a no-brainer for a little bit extra. We'll get their logo put on it and looked pretty cool. There was, you know, 35 riders sitting on the line and there was two umbrellas that weren't Peter Stevens umbrellas. And I went over and said, like, just giving you the heads up that you're not allowed to use them umbrellas in here. And they just looked at me and said, I'm joking, mate. But we did give you one. So it was all good.
Yeah, I mean, that's paid dividends because those umbrellas are in just about every Starline photo that I took over the weekend as well.
You're not wrong. I got a photo from the front and it looks really cool. There was, there's a heap of them going right across. And the sun was out, so it was worthy. And hopefully there's a day that just a little light shower is going over that they can come out and do that again. But we don't want any heavy stuff.
You've been involved in moto for a long time. Like, obviously, your son, Corey, he raced at the pro level in Supercross and Motocross. Have you had much to do with the Victorian Championships over the years?
I've been involved in Motocross for, I don't know, probably 22 years or something like that.
Yep.
But they thought I talked too much at night, so they give me a microphone during the day. I've been a commentator at a lot of junior and senior Motocross events at state level. They had a commentator at Ballarat and he wanted to stop and go for lunch. And they just, Simone Sandwith asked me if I'd jump on the mic for 5 minutes and give him a breather. And yeah, they struggled to get it back off me, to be honest.
You've had it in your hand ever since.
Yeah, I like, you know, and the old bucket list, I've done a few Primex Nationals and I've done an arena cross meeting at Skilled Stadium for the Geelong Football Oval. And that was that was like the highlight. I walked across the oval using the Geelong Football Club PA system, and I felt like that bloke that says, "Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the playing of the national anthem." It was just so cool. That was a bit of a bucket list, that one. Yeah, I've had some great fun involved in the sport. Unfortunately, doing that, it sort of leaves my kids. I had three kids race over the duration. I've got four boys, and at once I had three going. One stopped racing. Then the baby, he came back and started. Well, didn't come back. He started racing later, and as he got a little bit older, but yeah, the kids never had me in the pits helping them out. So you'd go to an event, and next minute, RT, there was a bloke who used to go to motorbike events and fix up tyres and chain and sprockets. Well, yeah, they'd say, "Kenny, you've got to go and pay your bill at RT. We fixed your bike for you." So $300 later of parts and everything. Yeah, the bikes was all good, but anyway, that was all right.
So based on your experience, how did the weekend Vic Championship sort of stack up to the Vic Championships in the years gone past? And what are your thoughts about the current level of motocross at a state level?
Yeah, when we first come in, like, there used to be heaps of C-grade at state level. There was, you know, it was packed, jam-packed, and we're starting to get that number back again. So the C-grade 65 riders, like, we had over 35 or something like that on the weekend, you know, for them to start thinking about state level, you know, because these kids probably haven't raced prior to COVID. So they've come out of COVID and started racing, and then here they are going to a state level, and we're getting 35 riders at that. And like, there's more out in the bush that are like in the region level that are racing, but they all just hesitant about taking that next step. But yeah, there's some great racing coming on compared to past. Yeah, like, there's some good names, you know, like, you go back in the days when Dino Mosick was talking about, you know, the riders that he's talked about in that podcast previous, in the lead-up to it. And, yeah, there's some riders that are starting to, that are on the verge of taking that sort of step. Yeah, and, like, some of the kids that are on the weekend are only at the younger age too, because we don't run age group racing at state level.
It's all
great. You know, like, see it in the Gippies, but, like, at state level, we run A-grade riders, which is we deem our best riders here at the moment, in a race just on their own. And then the B-grade riders go out and they're the middle of the pack. And then there's the C-grade riders that are coming in through the sport.
Yeah.
You know, taking them to that level and introducing the C-grade riders to that level of racing, I think it plays windfalls for down the track because they feel comfortable and they – instead of going, "Oh, I don't think I'm up to that," well, they do start coming along and the numbers start getting growing again. So,
yeah, well, like you said, the gates on the weekend were all pretty full. Even the junior girls, like, they had some pretty good numbers out there. So that was really good to see.
Yeah, the junior girls is a class that I really love seeing. I had a close friend at Horsham that all she wanted to do was race with the girls. And she never went off and done Vic level. So her first thing was to race a Western region with the ladies. So, yeah, it's just tough for them that they've got to do it. And sometimes it's tough for the boys having to race the Emma Milicevics and the Maddie Ealy's. It's just like, and the Maddie Brown's, like, she's moved up to Queensland. Hopefully that's just a holiday, but we can have her back come back. Yeah. But the girls, there's some good racing in them girls. You know, we've had some great races, riders through the times. Christy Gillespie out of Victoria, she was 2 or 3-time Australian champ and things like that. So it's pretty cool seeing them come from here.
And then, move on to that level.
Yeah, yep, 100%.
Well, taking your official hat off for a second, can we talk about some of the racing from the weekend? Like, in terms of riders and classes, were there any standouts for you?
Yeah, Seb Bartlett on the 125 on Sunday, he just seemed to fire all guns all day, just absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
That was like, he's about 7 foot tall. So, you know, for a little 125 to cart him around, like, he's going to excel when he gets onto a 450 because, like, yeah, you don't have to jump around as much on a 450 to ride. So he's going to excel once he gets on a bigger bike. But,
and to, like, do what?
More horsepower, not bigger, they're in the same size, but, you know.
Yeah, to do what he did, you know, some of those riders are team supported as well, and, you know, they're racing MX3, and yeah, they're pretty experienced.
We had a rider on the weekend. He's just come out of hospital. He's got some something that's going wrong with him. And he spends a lot of time in hospital, the young coot dog down here. And he was in Aussie, comes out of hospital, and then gets on a motorbike and goes three straight on the 85. Like, that was very impressive. Like, he's that's class stacked. That class is stacked with really good riders in the 85 class. And he just smoked them. Like, his preparation has been laying in the hospital bed for a couple of weeks.
Nah, he's so, a lovely kid too.
He down a ripper. He was ripper on the weekend to watch this. Unfortunately, it was the right colour bike, just not the right brand. But anyway, we'll take the red. And back to the rider side of things. Lewis J. Carafa, Mason Ezagalis on the 65s. They are unreal to watch. Absolutely unreal to watch. They're travelling to Queensland to race the best riders, and I think those riders from Queensland should be coming down here because they are the current form at the moment, them two boys.
Yeah, I've got Lewis J coming on for an interview after this, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then again on Sunday on the 85 small wheels, both of them.
Yeah.
And young Cody Dunn.
Yes, yeah.
It's another one. Yeah, young Cody's just – had a weekend that was just behind them too, but those three were standouts on the 85s in the small wheel class.
Yeah.
His brother, buddy, he was on fire there on Saturday, Job.
Yes.
Had that little off there in the last, and he's, he rolled around and picked up 1 point in his last race, and he's sitting 9 points behind the leaders, so he'll make up for that, I reckon. He's going to have a great season.
Yes.
They're really putting their time and effort in with him, and Macca coaches him. Macca was there on the weekend. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yep, I did. Yep.
Yeah, so Lyon McDonald's son, Macca, he's spent a lot of time in the sport, and he's got a young fella racing road racing. So
yes. Yeah.
I'd love to see him on a motorcycle.
Yeah, they interviewed him like midway through the day, which was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's doing a lot of racing in Spain, so... Imagine you get him on a motocross bike because he'd be perfect size for a 65. So.
Yeah.
Nothing on him.
So I think he's got his hands full on the road bikes by the sound of it. He's doing all right.
Like if anyone's out there that knows Macca and wants to help him out, I think something like $30,000 in airfares to go to Spain to race this year is in their budget. So
For anyone that isn't aware, we're talking about Glenn McDonald. So
100%. Yeah. Macca. Mate. Motocross on the weekend, though, you've got to give it thumbs up, massive thumbs up to the club. Yeah, everything worked a treat. So.
Yeah, so are you going to keep this role in moving into the next round, or you've got something else for the next one?
We're rotating our officials around a little bit. I only done this one because Michael Burns was unable. He was going to do it initially.
Yes.
And Michael Burns had commitments. It was his 30th wedding anniversary and took his wife up to Queensland. And had a weekend away, so he forgot about that. As you do, you forget about your wedding anniversaries and the trip that he planned.
Yeah.
But I just covered for him on the weekend, and I think Burnsy's coming back and doing a few. I'm doing two more before the end of the season, just helping out here and there. But yeah, I'll be at every round. I'm the treasurer for Motocross Management and trying to just make it all happy. Make it happen and have fun. Have a lot of fun. It's a big expense racing, and if you can just have fun doing it, then you're really going, yeah. All right, might have cost me a couple hundred, but I had fun.
That's the main thing, mate. That's what life's all about.
Yeah, and if you just got to take it at every race as it comes at the moment, just every time they go out and every gate drop they have, they get a little bit better, a little bit more confident, and the Vic titles, will they make you a world champion? No, but we might find one in the process of running them. So there could be another Jet Lawrence sitting down here at the moment.
Definitely.
Just waiting. Like, he won an Australian title at Horsham in 13, and look where he's gone. So
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's not a bad progressive step, is it?
No. No, and look, there was there was definitely some really impressive talent on the track on the weekend. Yep. That was 100%. Crazy. Yep.
Yep.
No, well,
yeah, no, we... wrapped now that we've got you coming to them all.
Yes.
We can have a yak and listen to your podcast on a Wednesday night, and Joe will probably chuck in a spill from up north watching the racing going on, and it was sunny down here, not sunny states up there. It was raining up there, so we'll take the sun and make them have the rain for once.
Now, this is the place to be, mate. Isn't that what they say about Victoria?
Yeah, Victoria, place to be, isn't it? Oh, there is a punchline, but that's probably not the right one to use at the moment.
Thanks for coming on the show, and thank you for all your time and effort over the weekend. I'll look forward to catching up with you at the next round.
No, mate, absolute pleasure having you at it. And just for all the kids out there listening, when Wolfie comes and sees you, just give him 100% your best, and thank Mum and Dad. Make sure you do that, and we'll have a great time. Thanks, Wolfie.
Thanks, Kenny. A massive thanks to Kenny for coming on the show as our first VicMX recap show guest. Now that we've broken the ice, I think it's time to talk about some of the racing in a little bit more depth. And the racing is, of course, the reason that we're all there. For all the future episodes, I'm going to try to line up a co-host to join me in the studio for this part of the show. But for this first episode, I'm going to go through the classes, give some of my thoughts, and along the way, call in some of the winners for a chat. Now, we won't always be speaking to just the winners or just the A-grade riders. As the series progresses, I'd like to bring on a variety of guests from veterans of the series, MX1 and MX2 racers, as well as junior and senior level racers who might be competing in the Peter Stevens Victorian Motocross Championships for the very first time, and riders across all grades. Now, as I mentioned in the preview show, there's unfortunately not enough time during the podcast to mention every rider at these events, and we probably won't even get a chance to mention all of the winners. For each of the rounds, I'm going to try to capture and discuss key moments, and hopefully, over the course of the series, whether as part of our post-race trackside interviews or as part of these recap shows, get to meet and chat with many of the riders, parents, and some volunteers as well, I think. And by all means, if you see me at any of the upcoming rounds, I am the guy in the purple media vest. Please do come and introduce yourself. And if you're keen, line up an interview. Now, the first class I'm going to talk about now are the big bikes that kicked off the event on Saturday, which were, of course, the Junior 250 A, B, and C grade classes. Across all three grades in the 250 class, there was some action-packed racing. But starting with C grade, there was one rider that was impossible to miss, and that was Zane Hohouse. Now, he's a quiet young man off the bike, but on the bike, this dude has some serious style. And I have to say, he's probably every moto photographer's dream. He definitely knows how to throw a dirt bike around, and he seems to enjoy doing it a lot during the races. He also had an almost uncanny ability of knowing where on the track the camera was going to be at all times. He ended up taking the overall for the day with 1-2-1 moto scores, dropping the second moto to overall runner-up Cooper White. Rounding out the podium for the day was Better by Dirt's Ryder Nickel, and he was hard to miss in one of my favourite Bolt gear sets, so just thought I'd put a shout out in there. Now, in the Junior 250 B grade, it was super chaotic this weekend, with virtually every rider in the class having at least one bad moto. Elliot Brothers rider Favoloro ended up taking out the overall with a pretty crazy 9-2-1 moto score. Jimmy Farah, he edged out Travis Coyardi for second on the podium, finishing the day with a sixth, a first, and a fifth in each of his motos. So that's a pretty unlikely set of moto scores to end up second on the box. In the Junior 250 A grade class, it was a similar story. And with a packed gate, this class featured some of the best racing of the whole weekend, in my opinion anyway. The standout was the Yamaha Junior Racing Program's Job Done. Somebody told me on the weekend that this kid's only 13 years old, but you wouldn't know it watching him ride a 250. Unfortunately, a crash in the final moto put Dunn out of podium contention and resulted in him scoring only a single point for that moto. Miraculously, though, at the end of the day, Dunn is only 9 points out of the lead in the 250 A-grade class, so definitely still in the title hunt. With Dunn out, the win for the day, though, was anyone's for the taking, and there was at least five other riders vying for the top step of the podium, including Seb Bartlett, Go24's Kai Little, Jed Gray, and Rockefeller Racing's Jesse Kolb. In the third moto, it was Kai Little, though, who stepped up with a super impressive ride, keeping his cool despite some crazy intense pressure from, I believe it was Seb Bartlett, for about half the moto. Little's win in the last moto ended up putting him up to third place overall for the day. The only two riders that didn't end up outside the top five in their respective motos all day ended up tied on points for the overall win, and that was Jed Gray and Jesse Kolb, with Kolb squeaking out the overall with his third place finish in the final moto. So the first rider that I will be catching up with to chat about the weekend's racing is going to be Jesse Kolb. So let's get him on the line. Hey, Jesse, welcome to the Peter Stevens Victorian MX Recap Show, mate. The level of talent in the 250 and 125 classes on the weekend was pretty impressive. You had to line up against a bunch of riders that are also racing the Pro MX Championship in the MX3 class. Do you get nervous at all before the races?
Yeah, considering I didn't race the first round of the Pro MX, definitely got me wondering how I'd stack up in the class. I can say Job Dunn, he definitely went really well at MX3, I would say. But yeah, no, I was talking to Dad about it. Just go out there, let it all hang out. So I didn't really have that many nerves as maybe other people would have. But yeah.
Oh, awesome! You definitely, you definitely did let it all hang out, especially on that first day on the Saturday. Other guys on the gate, riders that you've grown up racing over the years as a junior.
Yeah, I mean, I've raced Job. I raced him on 50s actually. He's obviously a different age, so he definitely came into my class a bit later.
Okay, so he's younger than you, is he?
Yeah, he's 2 years, I think.
Yep.
He's only 13. Impressive.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you finished first overall in the junior 250A grade class, going 2-4-3, and third overall in the 125A grade class, I think with a first, a fifth, and an 11th, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, I got, first, fifth, and then a 12th.
Oh, 12th, yep. Yep. Well, starting with the 250 class on the Saturday, can you talk me through your races?
Yeah, so we'll start off with practice. Practice was definitely muddy. I mean, you've got to have a muddy track to have a good end to the day, get those ruts in. But, no, practice, found a flow, got roosted heaps. Like, I could only see out corners of my goggles. Like, yeah. And the track was pretty full on, so you couldn't really like find a place to pull a roll off anywhere. So just had to do it midway through a turn.
Yep.
But to get that a decent lap in, because I think I got, maybe first in practice, second maybe. Yeah, I think I got second by like 0.180. So that was good. I surprised myself a little bit, considering I had all the people in front of me.
Yeah, yep.
And drove out the clear track. So, yeah, just took that on board, knowing I can do it. Gave me a little bit of confidence, even though it was just practice. Like, practice doesn't mean anything, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's probably the hardest the track gets in terms of raceability in that morning too. Like you said, it was wet. It was pretty deep. They ripped it pretty deep in anticipation that it was going to be a pretty warm and, you know, dry day as well.
I mean, it did get a bit hot, but the breeze was nice at least.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So talk me through your races on the Saturday.
Race one, put off a hole shot, dive to the inside, I'm pretty sure, or maybe even outside. I think it was outside.
Yeah.
And just got a real good jump, just shifted real clean shifts, and then put off that hole shot, and then railed that second turn, and then the third turn I got past. But, yeah, Job just threw the like nastiest scrub in front of me. It was like, I don't know how he pulled it off, but yeah, he did.
Yeah. By that first race, had the track started to dry up a little bit and some lines start to form?
Yeah, definitely. It still had a lot of moisture considering how hot it was already. But no, the little bikes definitely made some squiggly lines. But other than it, the track warmed up all right by race one. Still pretty flat and sloshy, but that's how you get it sometimes. Yeah, so Moto 2, do you know what I got? I forgot.
I think you got a fifth.
Yeah, so that fifth, I got actually a pretty terrible start. I got like just dived in on I just seen two bikes on my left and right just dive in. And I just got filled in with mud in the first turn. And I was just like eighth, I think. And the track was pretty one-lined. I thought I was in like last because it was just so jam-packed.
Yeah.
But I figured my way through and I just didn't give up that whole moto. Like I just obviously, because the series is short. You don't win the championship off the first round, but you can definitely lose it.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't, and that's for sure.
Yep. I just had a look, actually. You got a fourth in that second moto and a third in the last moto.
Yeah. So the last moto, it was pretty straightforward. I think I got like a fourth place start. And then Jed Gray, which I tied for points on the overall, actually went down and I passed him. And I literally just stayed there for the whole race, managed it. Didn't want to push too hard because the track was getting a bit slick with all the blue groove that the moisture was on earlier in the day. So I just managed it.
Yeah, and I think it was Kai Little that won that last race.
Yeah,
for the Go 24 Penrite team. He was on rails that last race, but there's some good battles up until the last couple of laps there.
Yeah, 100%. Like he was like 26 seconds at the end of the race, and I thought I was in a good spot, but then I just see him out front, like gone.
Yeah,
I was actually who's that? Like.
Yeah, he just got stronger through the day, but he got the start in that last race and he just ran away with it from there. He definitely didn't do it easy. He had some challenges along the way, but some pretty good battles there. So what about in the 125 on the Sunday?
Yeah, no, so we set off with practice again. The practice was actually pretty good. It was not as wet. It was weird because there was already those holes from the day before in some of the turns. So I always just go, they're obviously going to get deep. So I just take different lines in practice and then just see how the day goes. And if I need to change my line, I'll go to that line that I did in practice. So I would just worked around that. But then obviously just had a decent lap. I think I got first by like maybe a second.
Yep.
And then that obviously gave me confidence going into race one.
Yeah, that was an awesome race, that first one.
Yeah, whole shot to lead in the whole thing. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, you definitely looked like you were at your absolute limit. Did it feel like that when you were riding as well?
Yeah, I did. I did feel good, but it's just my sprint speed that I need to work on the first lap.
Yep.
The first like 2 to 3 laps. Like everyone can go see on speed of themselves my laps compared to the other top three in that race. Just so off. Like I did have a lead, but they gained so quick. No, other than that, it's just, that's all I need to work on. Like Oatsy, my coach, OatsMX, during the week, that's literally all he says I need to work on. Other than the little things, that's the main big thing in a race.
So you got a fifth in the second moto and finished up with an 11th in the third moto. What happened in the third moto there?
I got a pretty average jump. And me and my mate Taj lined up next to each other, and the lines were a bit squiggly coming out. I was like, "Oh, hopefully this doesn't go as planned." Well, doesn't go as the lines would show on the track, and it did.
Yeah.
He said after the motor we clipped handguards, I think, and then he backed off, and then I squeezed my way through.
Oh yeah.
I just got fifth, Martin went down in the first turn, which wasn't predicted. So, yeah, I pushed my way. I think it was up to like 13th, no, maybe 15th. And then I went down again before the finish. I just overcommitted to a moist rut and just fully blew out on me. And then I pushed my way back, got 12th, which was, I was pretty annoyed about. But, yeah.
It was still enough to put it on the box for the at the end of the day, which chatting with other riders over the weekend, it seemed like very few managed to have three consistent finishes over the weekend, which it sort of wreaked havoc with the points and opened the door for some unlikely podiums and overalls like your own in the 125 class. Why do you think it was hard for so many riders to find consistency on that track?
You can definitely find some consistency like riding it, but the result, just if you do compared to no starts during the week, and if you maybe do like 20 during the week, it's all about the start. Like,
yep.
That track is so one-lined. It's just like people don't really realize with that high of an intensity, like line up on the grid, how much a second line would help in every turn. Incline would just, that's just like, you don't really get that on a real racetrack. Even though that's a really good racetrack, like they prepped it phenomenal, but yeah, no, just a one-line track doesn't really help.
You know, from my perspective, I was out there taking photos. It looked like most of the corners had a, you know, a good inside rut. And then obviously they've got pretty good berms there. So is it impossible to sort of pass around the outside on that track?
Yeah, well, there was one berm. I tried it and it just led straight into slop. And I literally went straight right-hand side, like turned right to the right-hand side of the track. And it was just back to the main line. Which, yeah, I mean, that one rut on the inside, just that was literally the whole like line for the day. Even
fastest
though it got
line, fast, yeah.
It was the fastest. Yeah, I just took it the whole day. Like there might have been another one, but I doubt it would have been as fast as the bumpy line.
Yeah, which makes it hard when you're trying to come through the pack, like you. You sort of experienced in that last moto.
Yeah, that last moto was definitely frustrating, but you got to have them sometimes.
For sure, and like I said, overall, you know, both in the 250 A grade and the 125 A grade, yeah, you ended up on the box, which you got to be pretty happy about at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, the results I didn't really want, I would say, but definitely the overall result, I would take it, yeah.
Yeah, and finally, I've said it before on the podcast, but it seems like some of the junior riders struggle transitioning back and forth between the 125 two-stroke and the 254 stroke a little bit. Which one do you prefer and why?
They've got their pros and cons, really. The 125, I definitely like, since I've only got 1 year left in juniors, I love that bike and I don't ride it often. So when I get on it, I just make the most fun out of it. So I definitely prefer the 125 just because it's way more fun. Not that it's like easier to ride. It's just, I don't know, you make more fun out of it. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it your line choices or just keeping up that roll speed in the corners? Is that what makes it more fun?
Yeah, definitely carrying higher speeds into turns since, like, I definitely noticed the engine brakes. That plays a big part.
On the four-stroke, you mean?
Yeah, on the four-stroke compared to the two-stroke.
Yeah.
The engine brake, you can definitely tell a big difference to the 125, how it has literally none. That's definitely a tough one.
I'll ask you again later in the championship. You can see if your answers changed at all.
Yeah, we'll definitely find that one out.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we finish up, thanks heaps for coming on our very first VicMX recap show. Is there anyone that you'd like to mention or thank before we wind it up?
Yeah, I would. The whole Rockefeller's Racing team, they've done like so much for me this year. And all the boys that are involved as well, like all the other riders. Yeah, Kai's just done an amazing job. Obviously, Mum and Dad, Rapid MX, Native Concepts, Top Line, Choice, TSP, and everyone else behind it. And you, Mental Promoto, they've done a great amount of supporting me so far this year, and I can't wait to get the 2024 season not wrapped up, but
underway.
The results.
Ah, well, awesome, mate. I got some awesome pics of you over the weekend. So, yeah, I'll send them through shortly.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
No worries. Well, thanks for coming on the show and we'll chat again at the next round or before then. Thanks, Jesse.
100%. See ya.
Now I'm going to move on to Saturday's 65cc and Sunday's 85cc small wheel classes, and I'm pretty sure that all of the listeners know where I'm heading with this one, as Kenny has already mentioned it. Just before I get onto the main storyline in these classes that I want to talk about, I'd like to give a shout out to a young rider called Nate Hargraves. I didn't see it, but I think he took a bit of a digger early in Moto 1 or 2 on the 65 on Saturday. And when he got up, he went into full send mode. I got a couple of great photos of Nate rocking the bullet head, and I love seeing these young kids getting after it, especially after facing some adversity. Now, back to one of the main stories of the weekend. There were two riders who put on a show all weekend long in Lewis J. Carafa and Mason Ezagalis. While it was Lewis J. who ended up winning 5 out of the 6 motos across both of the A-grade classes at 65 and 85cc small wheel, Lewis and Mason swapped the lead multiple times in nearly every race and rode what was a fairly technical track with a level of skill and speed that was actually kind of crazy, especially for how small these bikes are. So rather than waffle on too much, for my next guest, I'm going to bring on Lewis J. Carafa to talk about his races on the 65 and 85 small wheel. And I might even see if we can have a brief chat with his dad, Julian, who is a successful motocross racer in his own right, to talk about moto dad life a little bit. Hey, Lewis J., welcome to the Vic Championship MX Recap Show, mate.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm good, Lewis. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you.
You've definitely been raising a few eyebrows on the junior motocross scene with some solid results as of late, and this weekend was no exception. Tell us about your weekend and how you went.
I got first overall on the 65 and first overall on the 85, and it it was a good weekend. Got the results of fast kids. I had fun with my mates, went fishing a bit, and
You had a pretty techie track out there. How did you find the track and the ruts, especially as they formed up from some of the bigger bikes?
Oh, the track is all right. The bigger bike sure did get the track to a state where it was pretty bumpy coming out the ruts. But it, other than that, the track was good. Loved racing it, and it was it was fun.
Yeah, I know some of the older riders were saying it got a little bit one line, especially on the Saturday. You had some good battles there with Mason Ezegalis. Were you able to find passing opportunities? How did you find the ruts and the different lines, and were there a lot of opportunities to battle?
Oh, yeah, just looking ahead and, just really trying to look for those sneaky lines, like the ruts on the inside where no one's been and really haven't thought of yet.
And was the track very different between the Saturday and the Sunday?
Saturday got really bumpy and it just out of the ruts. So on the 85, it was just sort of kicking me up and down on the seat. So, it sure did put up a fight, the track, and
Yeah, it looked, especially for practice, that was different again. It was pretty deep and definitely pretty wet. How'd you go in practice on both days?
I was just cruising, trying to get my lines all right, but, just trying to really look for those good lines.
Early on.
Yeah, and just, yeah.
You've got a really awesome on-track rivalry happening between you and Mason Ezegalis. And like I said already, you guys had some awesome battles on the weekend, especially on the 65s on Saturday. Are you guys friends off the track?
Yeah, we're best mates. We go fishing a lot together. We train together, ride together. We just have fun off the bikes, pit bikes.
That's so awesome to hear, mate. I reckon it would be very, very cool if we could one day see you guys both battling at the pro level. Are you looking to be a professional motocross racer one day?
Yes, I am. I'm really looking forward to it. Just going to train hard and try and get to where Jet Lawrence is. I look up to him and he's one of my favourites. So, yeah.
Very cool. And like you already said, you race the 65 and the 85cc on the weekend. Which is your favourite?
Probably the 85.
Why is that?
It handles a bit better. You can hit ruts a bit harder. You can hit jumps a bit harder, throw a bit of whip.
Thanks for coming on the show, mate, and congratulations on the weekend. You've definitely started off your Victorian Championship campaign pretty strong.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, thanks for having me on your show, and I might see you next time.
I'll look forward to it, mate. Before you go, are you able to just chuck your dad on for a quick chat?
Yep.
How are you?
Yeah, good, Julian. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for having us on your show.
Yeah, my pleasure. I just wanted to get you on quickly, as at the junior level, the parents are obviously an integral part of the racing scene. And as a rider yourself, you had quite a bit of success through your own career. What's it now like living the moto dad life?
It's a lot different. It's a big learning curve. And, now we know what we put our parents through. it's a learning curve. Obviously, I think Lewis has got an upper advantage just because I've done it before. The same with Mason with Carlos too. So Carlos comes from a racing background.
Yeah.
So you could see obviously the two boys. There's a few in the field with a lot of experience. With behind them, even Kobe Binion, Steve Binion. He's got a lot of experience with motocross as well. And you can see in terms of the riders, their development.
Yeah.
Moving forward. Yeah,
definitely. And between yourself and Justin, I think he's got some good mentors ahead of him as well.
Yeah, well, he sure does. Yeah, Justin hasn't really worked a lot with Lewis because he's pretty, like, I'm pretty capable.
Yeah.
But he's started getting to that age where Justin's going to be really handy when it comes to off the bike training. He's very good with you know, the human body, with the training. Obviously, bike technique, but when Lewis develops a little bit older, Justin's going to take a big part in all of that.
Yep. So when it comes to off the bike training, what's your approach like towards like living a healthy lifestyle and stuff like that with Lewis J? He's obviously still super young, but is that part of the program, or do you just try to keep it fun?
It's just fun for now. I think he's not really. He's very active anyway. Like, he's always sort of running around, and you know, you just have to probably educate them a little bit earlier with nutrition, I think.
Yeah.
Because obviously the little kids, they, you know, they just want to throw a lot of sugar in their mouth these days. You just, as long as you just sort of slowly build up, and as soon as they sort of hit the teen years, you'll probably have to, you know, just slowly build into it.
Yeah.
To, you know, to get their fitness sort of, to, you know, especially, you know, once you're 5, 6, 50s, really the main bike where you really need to excel with fitness.
Yeah, there's a lot more to manage on a full-size bike, isn't there?
100%, yeah. The 85s, I mean, the 85s these days is a pretty special bike. You know, they're pretty – they handle well. The kids don't know how good they got it compared to what we did.
You guys get a bit of help from the T-Dub Raceline Husqvarna team, don't you? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, well, Todd's put a junior program in place. You know, he's got a brand where he's created T-Dub. It's a, you know, motocross apparel, which is fantastic gear, which has just linked up some sponsors with his pro team, and he's put them all together in terms of having a junior program, you know, which is unreal because we've got Todd Waters for our mentor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can always call him and, you know, advise, and at the track he's very handy with the kids. He helps them. He gives them great advice on the track conditions. So it's pretty special.
Yeah.
Pretty blessed to have all that.
Yeah. Have you guys been up to Queensland to do any work firsthand with Todd?
No, not yet. I mean, it's the pro. He's got so much on his plate as it is for him to do some sort of one-on-one stuff yet. But I'm sure down the track, it's just because of their Pro MX Nationals have started. And, you know, he's got his deal through Husqvarna as well. He needs to perform at that level. And he's running, he's got another two riders. He's got to look after them with the pro team. So, yeah, I don't know how he does it, but he's doing it. And he's got a lot on his plate that he puts back into the sport.
Oh, he definitely does. And it's amazing, like, how quickly his brand has grown. Like, there's so many riders across both the local, regional, and even the national scene now wearing the T-Dub gear as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's marketed himself very well with that. I think half of Queensland wear that gear.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's really quality. It's a quality product. Lewis loves wearing it, the colours, all the schemes, and he's got his name in, you know, his numbers embroidered into the prints, which is cool. Yeah, it's pretty special.
Yeah. Do you have much to do with Noah James's program as well?
Well, Trent, I'm not too much. I just give a little bit of advice here and there. Noah's he's a really good kid, taking it on board. I mean, he's just come back from a big knee reconstruction, and he's only a young kid, but he's just slowly building and building and building. And he's actually, over the weekend, he actually rode really well. I watched him ride the 125 on the Sunday more. His starts weren't there, but his pace, he can pick it up through and he's slowly building to be a top kid, you know. Like, he's only just turned, I think he's 14 next week.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's only still, he's so young on a big bike. So he's pretty impressive. I think he'll build throughout the year, and he's pretty mature for a young kid. So he's just training in fitness is pretty good. So yeah, Trent can manage him pretty well. Like, he's, you know, he's a pretty easy kid to deal with.
He's a great kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid, yeah.
And did you get much of a chance to watch some of the other racing on the weekend? And if so, was there any sort of standouts or anyone that caught your eye?
Yeah, look, you couldn't go past Job Dunn on the 250. I mean, obviously he went 1-1 the first two motos, and then he had obviously a big crash the third, which I really didn't see much of it. I saw the bike cartwheel a bit.
Yeah.
But thankfully he was okay, but he's a standout. I mean, he's another young rider who's got some talent. I know Chris pretty well, and he's got the whole family package behind him. He was a standout. Sort of, it was hard to watch. I mean, Mason and Lewis's battle on the 65, race one on Saturday, was very impressive.
Yeah, I spoke about that with Kenny just earlier on the earlier interview. That was amazing to watch.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, their racecraft at a young age, both of them was impressive. Like, Lewis passed Mace passed him back, and then Lewis had a better run through the rollers, then Mason adapted, then he copied Lewis at the speed he was hitting him, and then Mason opened up a few corners quicker in the inside. They both were just feeding off each other each lap and getting quicker and quicker, and their times were just pretty much identical the whole moto, which was a nail biter, which a lot of people said it was one of the best races of the weekend.
Oh, most definitely. All three of the races, yeah, they were all great to watch. Yeah, for sure.
So I watched, obviously it's pretty hard to watch a lot of the races, but I watched the big wheels, the 85, a fair bit. Cooper Danaher was very impressive.
Yep.
Three race wins. He was sick last week too, so he was very impressive. He was a standout on there too. Yeah, we've got some talent in Victoria. The way the Victorian titles were run on the weekend was great, with Peter Stevens and all the sponsors coming on board, and the promotion was a lot more professional than it has been in years.
Yeah.
And they did have some numbers there, so I think the committee did a great job, and all the officials. I think that, there wasn't really one injury, I'm sure. There was one, so other than that, it was pretty smooth weekend.
Yeah, it was definitely great, and there was some great racing in all the classes, and some pretty full gates as well, which was just unreal to see.
It was cool that a lot of the South Australian and a few kids from Tasmania came and made the journey. It'd be good to get some more New South Wales kids down. But a lot of the state titles over the weekend.
Yeah, so was New South Wales, did they run their state title this weekend as well?
They did, and Queensland had their sunny state on, and obviously
West Australia
Perth
as well.
Yeah, they all had it. So it's pretty cool to, you can go and speed hive and see how everyone did over the weekend. And, hopefully one day they don't clash and we can sort of do a whole different series. Well, we're doing the East Coast series, which is a New South Wales series. That's a pretty good series with a decent amount of numbers too.
Now, when does that kick off?
It's already had two rounds of Coffs Harbour and Nowra. The third round's in Goulburn.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, I think.
And how's Lewis J going there?
He's second on the 80 by 6 points. Blake Bohanna, he's on the Yamaha team. He's winning. I think Mason's running second on the 65.
Yeah.
Lewis is a bit behind. We had a lot of troubles on the 65 last round. But, our 85 is going pretty good on that.
One final but very important question for a moto dad. Is Lewis J quicker than you yet?
Oh, he's smiling at me now. I think he'd have me, because I'm really unfit, I think he'd have me on a rough sand track. After watching him up at Harvey Bay, I'm pretty sure he would have me around there, no problem.
That's a pretty awesome rite of passage, mate.
No, mate, thanks, Pete, and thanks for what you're doing. It's pretty cool.
No, thank you.
And
well, thanks for coming on and for having a chat. And, I look forward to catching you guys at the next round.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us. And, all the best.
Well, thanks to the Carafas for coming on the show. Keeping things moving along now, I'm going to bring my next guest on shortly. He's a rider by the name of Cooper Danaher, though he is better known across the junior motocross scene as Coop Dog. Coop is well known as a bit of a phenom, yet he still seems to be improving in leaps and bounds just about every time I've seen him ride. In the 85cc big wheel A-grade class on Saturday, he had a clean sweep, winning all three motos. What made that feat even more impressive is that this is a pretty stacked class with a very, very heavily contested lineup, with plenty of up-and-coming superstars of the sport lining up on the same gate. So without any further ado, let's bring on Coop Dog. All right, as mentioned, my next guest on the line is Cooper Danaher. Welcome to the Peter Stevens Vic MX Recap Show, Cooper.
Yeah, hello.
You raced amazingly well on Saturday, but I understand that you had a bit of a rough lead-up to the Victorian Championships. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I did. I was in hospital the week before with just a cold because I got this blood condition called congenital neutropenia.
Yep.
And I don't make white blood cells, so I can't fight off any bacteria unless I have my needles.
Yep, so that must knock you around a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Like, sometimes I can't train during the week because I'm so sick.
Oh, that's no good. But you obviously bounced back all right for the Saturday?
Yeah, I did. Bounced back well.
Yeah, well, on the Saturday, you had a phenomenal start to your Victorian Motocross Championship campaign in the 85cc big wheel A-grade class. What can you tell me about your day on Saturday?
It was pretty good. I had some good starts and then I just have to pass maybe one or two people and then I just get out to the lead and ride my own race.
Yeah, what do you think about the track? I heard from a few other people that it wasn't so great for passing. How did you find, you know, when you didn't get the start, getting to the front?
You just have to be creative with it and find different lines, cut underneath people, try to go around the outside of them.
Yeah. And so did you gel with the track? Is that why you think you rode so well or were you just feeling really good on the day?
Yeah, I enjoyed the track. I was feeling good on the day. It was prepped good. It was wet. They kept the water in it. It was, fun.
Well, it's kind of like a bit of a hard pack track and it got fairly ruddy. Is that the sort of track you like or do you prefer the sandier stuff? Like, what sort of tracks do you like the most?
I prefer more hard pack tracks. That's sort of what I grew up riding on. And this year we're just trying to be riding more sand tracks, get out and get better on that.
Yeah, so you've been putting in some motos out at Rosebud?
Not really Rosebud. I've been out at One Faggy with Ross Beaton during the week. Just doing laps and training with him.
Yeah, well, like we said, you had a really good day on the Saturday. I think you got you went 1-1-1. You had the perfect day, and then on the Sunday, you went on to race the 125cc A grade class. How did you go on the Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday in practice, I felt really good. I was up front and got second fastest lap time, and then in the first race, I had not the best start. I probably come from 15th back up to 5th. And then the second race I got the whole shot.
Yeah.
And I led for a bit and then I just dropped back to 3rd. And then the last race I had a terrible start. And on the first lap, someone crashed in front of me and I hit him and I went from 30th all the way back up to 17th.
Oh, that's a phenomenal ride. You're pretty young to be racing in the 125cc class and there's definitely some older riders in there. How do you go on the 125 and especially against some older, more experienced riders?
It doesn't really worry me. I just try to use it as more like just to have more hunger to win.
Yeah.
Try to beat them.
So do you prefer the 125 or the 85cc class, which is obviously where you're super strong?
I like the 85 because I can throw it around. Just small, easier to ride, more fun, chuck bigger whips.
So will you be doing any of the Pro MX or Supercross rounds later this year on the 85?
I'll do all three rounds of the Pro MX and all the rounds of the Supercross.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll be going to all of them. So, I definitely look forward to seeing you there. And I think your dad was telling me this weekend you've got another race straight after the Vic Championships. Where are you going this weekend?
I'm going to King of the Murray Arena Cross. Just a fun race under lights. Gone there for the past 3 years.
Oh, that sounds very cool. Yeah, so thanks for coming on the podcast, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Before we wind it up, is there anyone that you'd like to thank or give a shout-out to?
I'd like to thank Fox Racing Australia, Ross Beaton, A1 Accessories, Maxxis Tyres, Motorex, mum for taking me training during the week, dad for making it happen, and everyone else. Thank you very much.
Now, sounds like you've got a very cool support crew behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, and I look forward to chatting with you later in the season.
Yep, all right.
Thanks, Cooper.
Yeah, thank you.
And now, for my final guest for this review show, I thought it'd be great to hear from one of the junior girls who, of course, raced on Sunday. Like every class this weekend, there are some well-known and very accomplished racers in the junior girls class, and many of them also mixed it up with the boys racing in multiple different classes over the weekend. Talia Feltham, Layla Dice, Emily Lambert, Nellie Fox, as well as the young lady I'll be speaking to next, Tegan Wilkin-Tom. So let's bring her on. Tegan Wilkin-Tom, welcome to the podcast. You're the defending Victorian motocross champion in the junior girls class, is that correct?
Yeah, I did win last year, which was pretty good.
Yeah, so well, tell me how you went on the weekend then.
Oh, that day I came with a good mindset. Moto 1, I got a good start. I was trying to pull through the pack a bit, but I had a bit of a moment and went over the bars.
Yep.
And had a bit of an off, but other than that, Saturday was a good day.
That was it, obviously in the 250 B grade class, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know how I went overall, but other than that, it was an average day.
I think you were the only girl in that class as well. What was it like racing with the boys?
Oh, well, I've been riding for 12 years and I've been in the boys' class most of the time. So, yeah, it was all right. I did last year, which was pretty good.
Yep. So it's just another day, basically.
Yeah.
And I believe that Cobram is your home track. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Cobram is my home track, which a lot of people probably think that that's a big advantage, but it really wasn't. It was a bit tough.
Yep. And I imagine it's going to be prepped a little bit differently for a Vic title as well.
It's a lot deeper and a lot more water was put on it, which that's what we were planning to do.
Yep.
Only because, like, a lot more fast riders and just the track would have got more choppy if it wasn't ripped as deep as it was.
Yeah, for sure. So with the ruts, because it did rut up quite deeply, is that kind of different to how you would normally have it?
Yeah, so the ruts were actually a lot deeper, which was pretty good. Track, other than that, it turned out a lot more different than what we normally plan for, like a Northern Regions, a club day.
Yep. In what way? Does it make it easier or harder to race?
It's really 50-50. It's get pretty bad, but it's just a track. Tracks form out different than you expect.
Yeah, so it's basically no advantage to having raced it previously or being sort of having done some more laps up that way.
No, it didn't really make an advantage. Like, yeah. Everyone was like, that's going to make you more at advantage, but it really didn't. I still was in mid-pack.
Well, your main class is the junior girls class, and that was on the Sunday. And, yeah, you did really well there. You had some good battles with Emily Lambert, but you ran away with it, you know, late in each moto. Talk me through your motos on the Sunday.
Yeah, so moto one, I had an all right start. Emily got out front of me and I pushed, but unfortunately I did get a flat tyre.
Oh, wow.
Which put me back a lot.
Yeah, I didn't realise you had a flat.
Yeah, I had a flat rear tyre. I was pushing, I had a good battle with her, but that flat tyre just put me a bit back.
And then in Moto 2, you'd obviously had that fixed?
Yeah, I cracked it at Dad's, so he changed it for me because I couldn't be bothered.
Well, that's what Moto Dads are for.
Yeah, I blamed it all on him at this point. So,
yeah, the rest of your motos went pretty well, though?
Yeah, I got two hole shots, which was a bonus, and just really pulled away from there. I knew what I was capable of and I knew what I had to do.
Yeah. It looked like you had some pretty good numbers on the gate in the girls' class. How did that sort of compare to other years that you've raced the Vicks?
Well, it was different this time because normally every other round we would just do picks out of a peg.
Yep.
Like pegs. But this one, it's really what you got in practice and race one. And then it would just went from there. I was choosing the inside just because I knew that, like, there was a good line there because I watched everyone else, but I knew where the gates, like, how the gates were dropping and, like, I knew that. So I just got away from everyone so I didn't get distracted on the gate and just stuck to my own.
Well, yeah, you finished the day with two firsts in the second and third moto, so you got to be happy with that.
Yeah, I was stoked with P1 overall. I knew I had it in me like last year, so I just went with it. I knew that I was going to – well, I didn't really know I was going to get it because I watched Emily and everything, so she was pretty smooth and fast. So I was a bit scared, but
yeah,
I was pretty stoked with P1 overall.
No, you definitely look like you were riding pretty well out there. You also raced the first round of the Pro-MX in the WMX class at Wonthaggi a few weeks ago. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
What was that like? Was your first Pro-MX?
Yeah, that was my first Pro-MX. It was really nerve-wracking, actually. I got a bit scared.
Yeah, there's definitely some veteran MXW racers in that class, isn't there?
Yeah, they are fast as well.
Yeah, they're super fast. And the track is very, very different compared to like regional and even state level events, isn't it? It gets pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I just didn't really have like the bike fitness for it. Like I was off the bike for a good 17 weeks from a broken ankle prior to that. So it was really nerve-wracking coming into it. I was just doing it for the idea of it and just to see how it goes for the experiment.
Yeah, so are you planning on doing any of the other MXW class races this year?
Yeah, so I think we've worked it out. We're going to do Murray Bridge. I think that's the next WMX one.
Yep.
And then the two in Queensland.
Oh, awesome. So you're going to do, the whole season for MXW.
Yeah, that's what we're planning on.
Yeah, and do you have any goals when you do that, or is it just about getting experience this year?
I'm hoping for top 10, but we'll just see how it really goes. It's all about the flow.
Yeah, definitely. How you feel on the day?
Yeah, I just hope for top 10. That was really our goal this year.
Yeah.
Like I'm still in juniors and everything.
No, for sure. And you've got a lot of years of racing ahead of you as well to break into that top 10 as well.
Yeah.
No, well, thanks heaps for coming on the show and having a quick chat. Before I let you go, is there anyone that you'd like to thank or mention?
Oh, big thanks to my mum and dad, really.
Yep.
They've done a lot for me over the years of racing. Just really everyone that's come behind me, like Alpine Motorcycles, Wangaratta, Tweak Performance, LNJ 4x4, Murchison, the Science Society, Cobram for the certificate, Mike's Apps Training, and just everyone else that's come and helped me out.
And your dad for changing your tyre so you could get two more first places on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Tegan, for coming on the podcast. And, I'll catch you at the next round.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it for my guests for this show. And I still haven't mentioned the class that impressed me most over the weekend. And that is, drum roll, the Div 2 class. As we've mentioned already, the Cobram track formed up some pretty huge ruts, big enough to completely swallow some of these smaller 50cc bikes. But that did nothing to slow down some of these little legends that battled it out in the Div 2 class. At the next round, I definitely would like to do some trackside interviews with some of these little Div 2 riders. I think there's some personalities in this class as well. Once again, it was a closely contested class with the top five riders in overall points in Div 2, Isaiah Filipovic, Max Legieri, Jay Spence, Parks Kranit, and Tyler Phillips all having scored a top three moto finish throughout the day. And lastly, before I finish up, I just want to throw out a last couple of honourable mentions. There were several riders who won their respective class this weekend with clean sweeps. Jimmy Farah in the 125cc B grade, Zane Hohouse in the A grade 125, Hartley Dunlop in the 65cc C grade, Willie Orders in the 85cc small wheel C grade class, and my guests from earlier, Lewis J. Carafa in the 85cc small wheel A grade class and Cooper Danaher in the 85cc big wheel A grade class. On a track where most of the riders seem to find it super difficult to be consistent, finishing the day with three out of three moto wins is pretty impressive. On that note, I think we'd better wind it up for this episode. For the next round, we're going to move on to the first round of the Victorian Senior Motocross Championship at Portland on the 20th and 21st of April. I can't wait for that one, and I'm looking forward to watching some of the best riders in the country battle it out for state honours at the senior level. I hope you enjoyed the very first of our Peter Stevens Vic MX recap shows presented by Motocred and brought to you by the Inside Dirt Network and the Mental for Moto podcast. A big thanks to our guests that came on the show, Kenny Watts, Jesse Kolb, Lewis J and Julian Carafa, Cooper Danaher and Tegan Wilkin-Tom. I've been your host, Pete Wolf. Until next time, see ya.